Like to call to order this regularly scheduled meeting of the Madison Plains Board of Education. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Higgins?
Here.
Mr. Potts?
Here.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. English?
Here.
Mr. Eisner and I are also here.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
And our pledge this evening will be led by sophomore Emma McCoy. And she is the stepdaughter of Mr. English, for what it's worth as well. So we thank Emma for being here to lead us this evening.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now we'll move to Section B, Public Communication. Mr. Morlock, you signed up.
Well, I just can't seem to come to a board meeting without having a few words to say. So first off, I want to congratulate Mr. English for your position. I hope you're well aware of the trials and tribulations you're going to be going through, but it'll be hard work, but worth it for the kids of the district. So congratulations on the appointment. I want to talk a little bit about some upcoming events for OSBA, the Ohio School Board Association. Usually in September, they have their fall meeting. That's when they recognize some of the outstanding teachers throughout the central region. And I hope that we have some representation that go to that so that you guys can talk to some of those teachers, because I think Madison Plains has better teachers that can be represented with this award and take that to heart, so that maybe next year we can have one of our fine teachers get nominated for that. Also coming up at the beginning of November, it's actually the week after the election, is when they have their fall conference. I always encourage everybody to go. I know you guys always do, but Mr. English, I think if you can make time to make it to at least one of those days, they're filled with all kinds of sessions. There's been a lot of stuff that's happening throughout the state. Also for Mr. English, his new school board member training should be coming up. I know they always do it after the elections for school board members, but they can always do it anytime if there's an appointment or do it in the year. So I would encourage the board to go ahead and approve that so that you can get that training. It's well worth it. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else for public communication? Next, we'll move to Section C, Board Work Session.
And good evening, everyone. Mr. President, this evening we have with us two gentlemen from Fanning and Howey architectural firm. Over the course of last spring, they did a little bit of an update to an assessment that was done by the state quite a few years ago. And they then came, Mr. Obrimba came in June and provided a presentation to the board at our June meeting regarding the state of our facilities and that report. So seems pretty clear that our facilities are in need of some attention. And so in light of that, I think because the schools belong to the community, I think it is important for us to engage the community in a dialogue about the state of the schools and their condition. And so we have Mr. Obrimba with us this evening, who is an architect at Fanning Howey. And we also have Mr. Tim Hamilton, who works with Fanning Howey as well. And Mr. Hamilton is a former superintendent of the Hilliard City Schools, and he helps to facilitate these kinds of conversations as well. So both gentlemen are here this evening, and I believe Mr. Obrimba will be the lead, but Mr. Hamilton may have a few things to say as well. And so they're going to share with us what a community engagement process around a facilities conversation might look like.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure.
I've
met a couple of you, and I am a retired superintendent. I am not an architect, and I make it very pointed to people that I'm on your side of the table as far as wanting to make sure that the school's facilities, both the master plan is the right master plan for your community, but that when you actually get into the construction or the renovation or whatever you choose, that you're getting the best bang for your buck and that it's realistic and reflects what your community wants and those types of things. My role, if I would partner with you, and Dan will be going through these slides in a second, my role would be to work on the community engagement piece. When I retired from Hilliard, I did all of the redistricting and the building projects and all of those types of things for the Hilliard community, and I thought it was important. The more the merrier is what I always told the folks. So we had some very large community engagement projects, as you can imagine, when you look at redistricting. And then while I was there for those 15 years, we built 8 different buildings, renovated 3 different ones, repurposed 2. And so there's a lot of ideas that you'll want to talk to your community about, you'll want to explore, and that's what the architects at Fannie and Howie can do. I missed that part, and that's why I joined up with Fannie and Howie, because they did build our buildings in Hilliard. And before I was in Hilliard, I was at Marion Elgin. So I had the small school experience and the large school experience, and I would love the opportunity to work with your community. So I'm going to turn it over to Dan, and as we go through, if you have any questions for me, then feel free to let me know.
Okay. Can you hear me okay? I'm going to talk from the screen. Is that okay?
Mr. Primpo, if you don't mind, it might be helpful, and I hate to ask you to do this, but if you held this, because otherwise the folks who are watching at home will probably not be able to hear you.
Oh, now you just made me nervous.
There you can use this.
Watch it at home. Okay. So I'm going to try to get through this quickly. There's a lot of slides, and there's a lot of information here. Slow me down if I'm going too fast, but I certainly don't want to take up your evening here with this presentation. This is a quick summary of what I showed you last time, just so we don't forget the assessment. The state came through, did an assessment. We did an update. Basically, the renovate to replace ratio is kind of a key element here. You can see the dollars and this sort of thing, but bottom line, when you get past 2/3, you really should be thinking about replacing facilities. Those aren't my rules. That's how the state sets things up, and state being OFCC. So we came through, we found some additional things, and it went up slightly, 78.6. This is the high school. So the renovate to replace ratio is now closer to 80%. And no reprogramming. See in red, if you remember that, no reprogramming. So we didn't put any dollars in to reprogram the classrooms, the academic areas, into something that would be more 21st century or more student-centered learning type environment. Of course, there'd be additional dollars to added to that 78%. Same sort of thing at the intermediate, 81, almost 82%. The additional elements we found in there put it up to almost 83%, and again, no dollars in there to reprogram the facility. So we were, I think in the last meeting, the question came up of next steps, and so we came here to talk a little bit about community engagement, but you know, there's other things to be considered. If you remember this here to there graphic, you know, just we're still trying to figure out the here as far as collecting information and then eventually connecting with the community. Eventually we'll get to creating options, but we're not there yet, so we haven't really defined what the end goal is. And I think that's how we have to go into it. We really can't go into it with any preconceived notions. So if you look on the left, facility assessments and validation, that's done. We need enrollment projections. We always need to know how many kids are we planning for, okay? How many kids are do we need to accommodate in our facilities? Educational vision, I think, is very critical. How are you going to teach? How is the curriculum going to be delivered? Is it traditional teacher-centered, or is it evolving? And if so, what impact does that have on the architecture? Or how can the architecture support the visioning? Board of Education goals, of course, very important. Site conditions, this sort of thing, we've not really looked at, but it's kind of started. And then also, what is the OFCC opportunity? Is there going to be any help from the state? So this is some of the basic stuff that we try to collect on our projects. Just flashing up real quick, the enrollment, historical at this point, it says projections, it says historical enrollment projections needed. So we're here. You can see the trend has been a little bit of a slip, not too horrible. But again, we need to know what's happening out here 10 years forward. Visioning, just touching on that a little bit. To the left, you see something that's far more traditional, something in the middle that's kind of transitional, and then something here that is transformational, we'd like to call it. Where this district falls in that range, we don't really know. The only way we know is to go through some exercises. This is just a quick graphic to show you where some of the newer school facilities are headed, or what they have. Something that's far more connected visually, physically, through technology, connected to the outside as well, far more flexible. Again, this doesn't mean it. This is something that you want or need, but it just shows you kind of how school facilities are evolving. So as we try to collect, and I know you're saying, why we're here talking about community engagement, but here you are talking about visioning. This is part of it. This is part of what we feel because it's such a key component. Most of you are aware of the four C's: critical thinking, creativity, collaboration, communication. We had a couple more in here: compassion, character, community, and citizenship. So we like to do a deep dive into this to say, how important are these skill sets? If they are, help us understand how you develop those, and then we'll wrap architecture around it. But until we understand those activities, so part of a, and this is just kind of a quick educational visioning program that we're suggesting, could be part of a day, as opposed to a 2-3 day workshop. So we go through a work session here where we break the group down, the staff primarily, into small groups, and we just say, answer the questions. Help us understand how you're teaching. Help us understand, pick any one of the six C's. They'll go through all of them. What does it mean to you? And just kind of help us understand how you would, if it's important, how would you develop that skill set? And then things that come out of this, such as these comments, this is an example on communications, helps us understand how the architecture is molded around the activity. So we got the six C's, and then this perimeter is kind of plucking out some of the key elements that help drive the architecture. And of course, these could just be populated well beyond the three shown. And then just kind of a cool graphic that says, now the architecture starts to fit in. Part of the exercise that we do for each one of these, and I won't spend a lot of time with them, but say for communications, here's some images, and we ask the staff, come in and tell us, you've got a green sticker, which means good, go, a red sticker that says, no, we don't want that. So we give them 15 minutes or so to go through seven of these big poster sheets and basically say, to develop this skill set, I like this. Don't give me this. This sort of thing. So again, it helps us understand what the teachers are thinking. Teachers and administrators. Same sort of thing for all the six C's. And this is just a recent example. You can see lower left was not popular. And then, we'll also ask questions. For instance, what are you seeing here that you don't like? I'm seeing a lab over there that's got green dots on it, but there's maybe one here. So what are you seeing? What's the problem here? So they do a little bit of reporting out afterwards. And even on floor plans, you can see traditional over there. This particular school system, not yours, a different one, said, don't give us that. Something here to here, you can see some even rode the fence in between. So I mentioned site earlier. You've got a great site, 178 acres, my goodness. We don't see this too often. I'm working with a district up towards Norwalk right now. We're kind of using a shoehorn to fit things in. So this is a real advantage. But there's a lot of things we need to learn about it yet. You know, we know the acreage, we know some of the other things, but soil conditions, environmental concerns, you know, things of that nature. The funding opportunity, the graph kind of tells the story. 2019, I know the figures are out for 2020, but they haven't posted them yet. I don't know which way it'll go, but it is trending the wrong way. So at this point, you're only getting 7% from the state. So one of the things we would do in a visioning process is ask that question. Do we partner with the state? Is it not worth it? Don't know. That shouldn't be my decision. So how do we connect with the community? We suggest start off with a core advisory group. That's usually your superintendent, treasurer, facilities director. We'll get into that a little more. And then spread out into a larger group, say 40, 50 people, facilities advisory committee. And through about six meetings, we can get a pretty good direction on processing all the information we can gather and is making some recommendations for a master plan. And then you go to a community meeting, process the information in a fifth meeting with the facilities advisory after you've gone through the community meeting, and then one more time through the community meeting, then you're ready to make a recommendation. So about six facility advisory committees and two community meetings. That's in general. If it takes more, it takes more. Facilities core committee. This is what I was starting to describe. Superintendent, one or two board members, facilities director, treasurer, community leaders, one or two. They help define the big goals, the objectives, timelines, but then they also suggest who can be on this larger committee. So they're a good source of identifying the 25, 40, 50 people that you may need. Just a quick listing of who we typically see in this facility advisory committee. Bottom bullet there, less than 50% from the state or from the district run. First meeting is a lot of sit and get, as they say, because we have a lot of information to share with them. Background on assessments and floor plans, site plans, things of that nature, enrollment. Somewhere towards the end of the meeting, we'll talk about funding also. Somewhere in the meeting, we'll ask a few questions. The basic one, is there a need? If the majority of your people are saying no, then you may as well end your process right there. That doesn't typically happen. Another tough question, should we partner with the state? And a lot of times we'll use Clickers or Turning Point as the software, but it's confidential, and it's pretty much instantaneous, so people see the results before we leave. Small group discussion, we pick some topics that help us do a deeper dive into what they're thinking. What are the top three facility needs? What are some of the obstacles? And then we process that information in a second meeting. Another thing that we like to promote is touring your facilities with this group. At some point, they're going to be talking to the community, and if they can't say they haven't been through the buildings themselves, then they lose a little credibility. So they need to get through there. They'll hear about all the conditions and such, but they need to see it firsthand. So we process tour comments, what they're seeing, and things like this. We review previous meeting information. We do some dot exercises on the different things that they mentioned in the previous meeting as far as needs and some of the challenges. We start to get into some other discussions of things like grade configurations and things of that nature. There's a homework assignment that we start to send out about this time that helps them understand the evolution of curriculum delivery methodology and how the buildings have reacted to that. And so as they come into the next meeting, if we have more facilities to tour, we do that process, then we start talking about visioning some more. Okay, towards the end of this meeting, as we do a nice intro and they've seen the videos, there's that questionnaire that I mentioned earlier. And that takes a while to process that out. So we'll gather that information, see what they're saying, and then that helps us pull together the visuals that we use in meeting four. And in meeting four, we start to wrap it up. Two big things that come out of this, some recommendations. It may be two, three, maybe just one. The other thing is the content of what we're sharing with the community. For the most part, it's everything they know. But how do we present that? Community meeting, it's a lot of what we went through with the smaller group, all this background and such, but we do take some time to try to get feedback. Facilities committee number five, we process what we heard, and then possibly change master plans or narrow master plans. Go back out to the community, get more feedback. After two good meetings with the community, we generally feel that the last meeting with the facilities advisory committee, we can start making recommendations to the board. Questions? Pretty close. Any questions? Does the process seem pretty clear? And
I think that's good. You're not asking people to be in too many meetings, right?
You know, that's part of the reason that this is set up this way, because if you just pull a bunch of people together and say, I need your help, I want to process this, but you don't give them kind of that understanding of how many meetings and what are we going to do and this sort of thing. So here, this is all, you know, completely identified and people know what they're obligating themselves to.
That helps.
We just completed this at South Central Schools, and I think they feel like they've got their direction, that, you know, superintendent board didn't have to bear that responsibility themselves.
One of the things I would add is two things a community engagement piece will do is, one, we need to start and make sure that they understand, that everyone understands that you're going to start with everything on the table, that you're going to flip that every rock over or under to make sure that you're looking at everything, because when you get to the end, it's important to be able to talk about that and be able to share with your community that, yeah, we looked at that, but the process led us this way. And the other thing that it will do to you as the superintendent, treasurer, and board members is it'll make your community understand these are hard decisions. And if they get engaged, that they understand that the thought processes that have gone into this have allowed you to make the decision that you're moving the district forward for. And, you know, let's face it, everybody's in it for kids. So that's the part that you have to look at.
Yeah, really, really good you pointed that out, because we want to be as transparent as we possibly can throughout this entire process. And that's one thing we're looking for, is a process to figure out what the people will support, what they won't support. I think I said at the June meeting, we all have our personal feelings of what we may want or not want, but that's kind of irrelevant. We need a feeling for what the community will support or not support. So this is what we're looking for, is a process to kind of help us get there. And I think this is the first step in that process.
If I could add one more thing, and I'm glad you said that, because I was just getting ready to piggyback on to Tim's comments. When you look at next steps here, create that core committee, which will help you create the facilities, start to, you know, set up a schedule and things like this. But look at that third bullet. Set up a planning database website. So everything that we share with the facilities, with the core group, with the facilities committee, All the PowerPoints, all the assessment data, all that stuff is posted on a facility's website that is generally linked to the school's website. So anybody can get in there and just, you know, they got a lot of background on what's happening and watch it evolve too. And then the last comment about touring facilities, sometimes these groups want to just kind of take a pause and go see something new. Maybe that helps them visualize the potential.
And does that website, does, so that lets them come back and ask questions? Like, is it that
interactive?
I don't know that we've done that before. We could. Yeah, people could post. I think we generally have the questions routed through the superintendent, and then he vets it out. Yeah, he brings
just
it.
Just some form of.
Yeah. Usually the questions are directed to the superintendent. Superintendent then brings them to the facilities committee, and we process them out. So again, then that information goes right back to that website in the way of a response. Yeah.
And Kelly, every district is different. So once we get into this process, you know, we have to mold it to what your community and what that core group of people are asking us to do and how it sort of ebbs and flows. So that all changes as we get moving.
Okay.
Mr. O'Brienbaum, Mr. Hamilton, we appreciate your time this evening. Thank you for coming out to see us and for the presentation. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You've given us some things to think about, and we will certainly, as a board and an administrative team, will consider what you have shared and make decisions that we believe are in the best interest of Madison Plains. And we look forward to engaging the community in a conversation about their schools. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Just one other thing with the board work session related to what Mr. Morlock had to say. And I think Todd's already sent something out. All of us, a lot of us attend the OSBA, you know, to get that information to him. Hopefully as many of us that can attend this year. So if you would work with them on your new member training, know when they offer or happen, it's definitely worthwhile. So now we'll move to section, let me ask that. Anything else for board work session?
Well, I look at it, I'm the liaison, so.
You'll go.
Yeah, on it.
All right, so next we'll move to section D, approval of board minutes.
Mr. President, I make a motion that the minutes of the July 23rd, 2019 regular meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Foley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinkas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. English?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Do we have student recognition tonight?
No, I just would like to give a general shout out to all the Madison Plains students who competed and participated in the Madison County Fair. We know that many of our students did, too many to be able to recognize at a board meeting. But we know that many of them participated and competed and did very, very well. We were well represented there. Just a shout out and a congratulations to all of our students who participated and competed. We are very proud of each and every one.
Thank you. I appreciate you doing it. It was a very successful year for Madison Plains students at the Madison County Fair. All right. So we'll go to section G, board committee reports.
Okay, and the first committee report that we have is our finance committee.
Mr. Eisler, I can report out on that, along with Mr. Mason. We met on August 12th, 5 o'clock. All members were present. Including myself, Mr. Butts, Mr. Mason, Mr. Eisler, and Courtney Bricker from the Village of Mount Sterling. We talked about the July income tax amount that came in. The July income tax amount that came in, again, that was our second receipt. It continues to come in higher, towards the high end of the expected average. So that was good to see, and I'll highlight that later on here. We also received a general update from Mr. Eisler on the course of negotiations, and review of the 10-year plan that we've had historically and what we might do to change that and moving forward. Mr. Eisner and myself made a commitment to collaborate on that moving forward and to have a new 10-year plan for the district in the near future. Courtney Bricker updated the group on some issues in Mount Sterling. And then we set our next meeting date, which will be Monday, September 9th at 5 p.m. We plan on our next meeting, some suggested topics, we are going to have the permanent appropriations, which you'll see at the next board meeting, and then also our five-year forecast, which is due at the end of November, and a negotiations update, which should be a conclusion of negotiations, hopefully. And then any other updates that Ms. Bricker would like to offer regarding Mount Sterling. Anything, Mr. Mason, that you want to add?
I just want to say if the public has questions about the income tax and how it's being implemented and stuff, that the district stands ready to answer questions. I know, Todd, you have fielded some of those questions, but this, since it's new to the district, just want people to be aware we're stand by, ready to answer any questions that you or your employers may have to help start that implementation process.
Yeah, I get phone calls periodically on that and have been able to answer a lot of questions. Unfortunately, a lot of my answers have to do with directing them to the High Department of Taxation because they handle all of the collections on behalf of the district. We don't really have any involvement in that. But I am able to point them in the right direction. We do have a link on our website right on the home page with income tax information, and it takes you directly to a page with a lot of those resources, links to the High Department of Taxation, and amounts specific to the district.
Thank you.
And next is board policy. That group met on Tuesday, August 13th at 5 o'clock here in the district meeting room. We discussed the fact that we approved last year, updated and approved 35 policies. So it was a productive year from that standpoint. We have a few more to catch up on from last year, and then we are also awaiting our next installment of policy from the Ohio School Boards Association, which is due to us sometime in September. And OSBA is forecasting that there is likely to be quite a few policy updates. So the next few months may be quite busy for the policy committee and therefore all of us.
Great.
So just an FYI. We did review a few policies as well, and there is one for you this evening for a first reading. We reviewed a few others at the committee as well. There were some questions that developed, so I've been engaging in some conversation with legal counsel and also with OSBA. So I've got a little bit of work to do there, but I will get back to the policy committee with that information. And then we will send those to you as well as the rest of what is due to come. Our next meeting is Tuesday, September 3rd, so that is a week from this evening. And so we look forward to that. Our next committee report is our Communications Committee. They were supposed to have met today, but we have rescheduled for next Thursday, September 5th. But I am happy to report that just before the start of the school year, we were able to send out a newsletter that went to our residents of the district. I have received some positive feedback on the newsletter, so I believe it was successful and well received. So we are hoping to be able to do some more of those. But our next Communications Committee meeting, as noted, is Thursday, September 5th. The next committee that met here in August is our Facilities and Grounds Committee. They actually met twice. Once was on Tuesday, August 6th, and once was on Tuesday, August 20th. On August 6th, the committee was updated by Mr. Garrett on various projects that were completed over the course of the summer, such as duct cleaning and HVAC units that have been cleaned and repaired. And we also talked about, just as an example, the crack filling and seal coating that was done on the parking lot over at the high school and junior high. On Tuesday, August 20th, we met with students, parents, and coaches about the new soccer field that we have I guess I'll say, developed. And so there were some concerns about that. And so we met with them and listened to the concerns, kind of gave them an update on what we have done and what our vision is, talked about what some other districts have done, and worked to address their concerns as well. We have been competing down there. There have been a couple of games, and the one that I was at went pretty well. I went very well. I was pleased. So there is some more work for us to do down there. There are some things that we want to do to continue to work to bring the vision that we have to make it a really excellent facility, to bring that vision to fruition. So to do that, we'll also incorporate some of the concerns that have been expressed. But it is certainly playable at this point in time. And we have received some compliments on it from opposing coaches and referees who are familiar with some of the other soccer facilities in the area. So have received positive comments, so we're very pleased with that. Our next facilities meeting is Tuesday, September 3rd at 5 o'clock in the district meeting room. And so that will be just before our policy committee meeting, which will be at 6. So I know at least a few of us will be double dipping that night on committees. So again, board policy is at 6 that night, and then facilities and grounds is at 5. We had to move the board policy committee meeting because it wasn't going to work with our updated board meeting time in September. So that's where we are on that. The academic advisory group has not met yet this year. We are going to meet on a quarterly basis, and so we are anticipating and looking forward to our first meeting being sometime towards the close of the first quarter of the academic year. So probably sometime mid to late October is where we're looking right now. Beyond that, I think that covers our committees.
Thank you. Now move to Section H, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. I'm going to attempt to use the mic to start to get to that. I'm going to turn it off. I don't know what the problem is with that. The first thing in my report, again, is the school district income tax update. We have a spreadsheet of what we should expect to receive that comes from the Ohio Department of Taxation. I've modified it to allow us to make projections within that document. Previously, in the first disbursement in April that we received, we had projected to receive $100,000. We received $151,000, so we are at 7.7%, which is in the upper tier of the percentage of total fee collected the districts received. So then on our next collection, our last collection, which was July, we had projected to be collect 15% of the expected amount, which is 15% of the total collection, so 15% of the $1.967 million. That's what we had projected. It actually came in at 18.6%, which again is we're collecting at a slightly higher rate than what the average is, so above average, which is good. So with that in mind, future projections have placed it at the higher end of what we can expect to receive. So for 2020, FY20, we could expect to receive $1.722 million of the income tax. Again, that's not the full collection. And you can see in the previous year, in FY19, we were nowhere near the full collection for that first year. Then we start to recoup some of that amount in 21, so $2.813 million is the expected amount, and then $2.9 million in 22, and then 23 is $1 million, but that's only because that's a partial year. So the good news is that we're collecting at a higher rate. The bad news is it's still an income tax and not a property tax, which means we have to be patient and wait for the full collection amount to come in. So whereas we had attempted to pass the property tax initially, which would have been a guaranteed $2 million every year, we had to forego a large portion of that in lieu of an income tax, in place of an income tax, which is, again, takes 18 months or more to get the full collection. So that's why we had the tax anticipation note last year, and that kind of segues me into the spending plan. because I foresee that based on the 1.7 million, not the 1.9, that we may have to have an additional tax anticipation note for FY20. So I'll go ahead and transition then to our spending plan. Before I do that, the transfers real quick, nothing out of the ordinary, just a couple. One of them is a transfer from the Spanish Club to FCCLA for International Night of $600, and then we have the class of 2019 dispersing their unused funds to the class of 2020. So those are the two transfers you see there that will be up for approval. The spending plan on the financial reports, financial statements, I'm going to skip right to the end and zoom in if I can. And you see we have those low points again in December and January. You see it's above zero, it's 600,000 and 137,000. So the black line is our estimate. Way back over here, this yellow dot, that's our first amount in July. So you can't see a line yet. But our estimate is the black line. So we expect to remain above zero and end with slightly more than what we started the year with right now, potentially. But that is accomplished again through a projected tax anticipation note, the same process we used last year to get us through those months in December and January before our tax settlements come in. With everything that we tried to accomplish, this being a negotiations year and our insurance increases that we received this year, it was a lot to bite off to expect to not have to have that tax anticipation note one more year. I was hopeful that we wouldn't have to, but we will, is what I'm seeing right now. The good news is next year I project a surplus. You see we collect 2.8 million instead of 1.9 million. So we should start to recoup that amount and then some and carry over a surplus next year. So that's where we stand right now with the spending plan. Hope you had a chance to review those financial reports. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those right now. That concludes my report.
Mr. President, I make a motion that on recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items H5 and H6.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. English?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Then move to Section I, Superintendent's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. One of the things that I have, we have tried to do as an administrative team and as a board is try to recognize employees who have kind of gone above and beyond and done excellent work. This evening, in conversation and collaboration with the administrative team, we would like to collectively recognize our custodial and maintenance staff for all the work that they have done over the summer. They really did a very nice job. And I know as one of the things that I like to joke about is as I walk the halls, I like to be able to see my reflection in the floor. And that is pretty much true in the hallways. So very pleased. And so we'd just like to read the following statement in recognition of our custodial and maintenance staff. We as an administrative team would like to recognize all of the custodians and maintenance team members and our student casual labor for their work over the summer. They were short-staffed this year, but everyone worked together to get the job done. On top of their normal duties of cleaning and waxing around 170,000 square feet of space, removing and disinfecting desks and chairs, and cleaning several hundred windows and light fixtures, they also completed several other projects, as well as including painting the back half of the high school, along with the baseball and softball dugouts, mulching of the flower beds, and also pitched in and helped when our community was in need. Their eagerness to continue to work behind the scenes to make an impact on the lives of the students and staff and to provide a safe and clean environment shows every day when the doors open at Madison Plains Local Schools. We as an administrative team, along with our staff, students, and community, thank the custodial and maintenance staff for their hard work and dedication, and to continue to make our facilities the very best that they can be. And so, once again, to our custodial and maintenance staff, who we know are hard at work right now, we do say thank you and we acknowledge their efforts. We are very, very appreciative, so we thank them. Just in terms then of a couple of discussion items, and I neglected to put these on the agenda, I apologize, but just wanted to update the board. We have implemented something called Final Forms here at the start of the school year. Final Forms is basically, it is a management tool that allows us to take what used to be paper-based forms that parents and guardians would have to fill out every single year, oftentimes in duplicate or triplicate, or maybe quadruplicate perhaps, and it allows those forms to be digitized so that the parents only have to fill out the form essentially one time. General information about the parents populates over into other forms for each of their children. And then from this point forward, then from year to year, all the parents have to do is go in and sign off on the form and update any information that may need updated. So at Madison Plains, in trying to protect the time of our parents and our guardians, and also it will help efficiency with the staff as well, we have implemented this product and we're very pleased with it and getting some positive feedback. We hope we have started, at least on the academic side of the house, we've started with just some basic forms, the EMA form, the Emergency Medical Authorization form. But we hope to add to that as time goes on and people become more comfortable and more familiar. On the athletic side of the house, there is a whole inventory of forms that are available there for our student athletes. And so we're excited about this. We feel good about it. And like I said, I've received some positive feedback, but I believe it's a very nice tool for our parents and our guardians and our staff members. So excited about it. Also, just one thing, I see Mr. and Mrs. Talbert sitting in the audience this evening. They are actively involved in both officers in the band boosters. And so one of the things that has come up is they would like to be able to engage in a rental agreement for what we call it an ice chest with Home City Ice. One of the things that happens as we have activities going on here, especially marching band, but I think on Friday nights as well maybe, for the concession stand and things, there is a need for bags of ice to be brought out to campus, clean ice. One of the things that our band booster parents often have to do is run in town, buy the ice themselves, and then transport it out, and of course is to make the 15-minute drive from in town to hear that ice is melting. If we are able to allow our band boosters to do this, that will cut down on the out-of-pocket costs that our band booster parents and guardians are having to expend. It'll also save time. And so I believe that this is a good idea. We have talked about putting the ice chest that will be rented in the back of one of the shops at the high school, which I believe is the ideal placement for it. We had talked about potentially putting it outside, but I think there are some concerns about maybe doing that. I think inside where it can be locked up would be ideal. If there are concerns from the board, if you would, please let me know. But otherwise, I am happy to give the green light to the band boosters to be able to do that. This is a group that works very, very hard for our students in our music program. And happy to try to lift that burden a little bit and make it a little bit easier for them. So if you have concerns, let me know. But otherwise, I think we will have a rented ice chest in the shop at the high school in the near future. Yes, sir.
Scholastics has also been contacted, and they're also going to be able to utilize this for their concession stand also.
Okay. So for those who are listening at home, because Mr. Talbert does not have a microphone in the audience, the Scholastic Booster Club has also been contacted about this, and they will be able to utilize this as well for their purposes. So excited to be able to share. So that's all I have for Superintendent's Report this evening.
Thank you. Excuse me. Now to Section J, Policy and Governance.
And just a couple of items here as we get ready to begin moving through this part of the agenda. Every year in the fall, last year we did it in September, but this year I thought we'd just knock this out here in late August because I need to get this, I have to turn this in to ODE in September, by September 30th. I'm just trying to get ahead of the game. We have to, because we do not offer, like many schools, do not offer career technical education in our 7th and 8th grades, we have to, as a board, pass a waiver that states that in our resolution for a career tech ed waiver, it states that we don't offer it. And that's perfectly fine with ODE. We just have to pass the resolution and everything is good. Obviously, our students in grades 11 and 12 get career technical education if they choose to go to Toll's Career and Technical Center. And so everything is good there. This is just one of those things that we do every year. The other item that you have before you in this section is policy BJA, which is Liaison with School Boards Association. Just a few tweaks to that policy that have been suggested to us by the Ohio School Boards Association.
Mr. President.
Mr. President, I make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board approve business items J2 through J3.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. English?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Now move to section K, new business.
A lot of information here, a lot of very important information here. We have concluded successfully negotiations with our two associations. And so before you this evening, I am very pleased to ask you for a vote on our new, what we hope will be our new negotiated agreement with our OPC local. And then we also have our new agreement with our MPEA local as well. So very pleased to be able to present that to you for your consideration this evening. We are also required by ODE to annually approve our bus routes. And so our bus stops, I should say. So you have those before you as well. There's also an agreement with Invo Healthcare Associates for physical therapy. That is something that comes out of our Director of Student Services office. And so that is there before you. It's my understanding that that comes before us every year as well, just a regular agreement that we have. And then finally, in business, there are two overnight trip proposals for you. One is, they're both for the FFA. One is for their trip to National Convention, and then the other is their trip to Framingham.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve business items K2 through K7.
Second.
Discussion. I just want to say I appreciate all the hard work for our team and also the negotiation team on both sides. I know that can be a difficult process, a lot of time and hours. Hopefully we build on what we're trying to do and have a good working relationship that, you know, helps have Madison Plains with the best possible school can. But I just know you guys put a lot of hard work into that on both sides, and I really appreciate it.
And I think we have a good agreement. I'm pleased with it. I know on both sides there were some tense moments as we went through the negotiations process, which is normal. I would be surprised if there had not been. The good thing about what we did was we talked things through, and I feel very good about where we're at and the direction that we are headed in with both of our associations. So pleased to present these to you.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinkas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. English?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Next we'll move to section L, personnel.
And a few items for your consideration here as well, once I get to that section of my agenda. There are some supplemental contracts before you this evening. We have a few resignations, unfortunately, as well. and asking you to approve a substitute aide and also asking for approval for the employment of a cook helper.
Mr. President, I make a motion for my recommendation of the superintendent to board approve personnel items L2 through L7.
Second.
Discussion?
Hey, I just like to speak to the resignation of Militia Dill. I've known Militia for a number of years. My son had her in elementary. An excellent teacher. I hate to see her go. That's my comment.
Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. English?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Is there any Section M donations for tonight?
We do not have any this evening.
I don't believe we have anything for new agenda items, Section M. So next we'll move to executive session, Section O.
And I believe we have a little bit of a typographical error there. It says Section 4. But I believe the sections that we need to dismiss for are going to executive session for, of Section 1 and Section 5.
I move that we enter into executive session at 7:55 p.m. for the purpose of Section 1 to consider the compensation of a particular employee and to discuss the evaluations of the superintendent and the treasurer, and then also I believe potentially talking about compensation for employees as well.
Yes.
And then Section 5, matters required to be kept confidential by federal law or rules or state statutes.
And that goes back to some student discipline, student health issues. So.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. English?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
There will be no action taken after executive session. Our next regularly scheduled meeting, we got a short term, September 10th, here at 7 p.m. at the district meeting.